Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Super Sunday is here. Super Bowl 54. And then, guess what? Babe, you get your hubby back. You won't be a football widow until September. It is, it's the 100th season of the NFL. You got the Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers. Chiefs making their first appearance in 50 years, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that's prophetic. Right there.
That's crazy.
Right there.
Wow. And they're seeking their second Super Bowl title ever.
Year of Jubilee. I'm saying it. Year of Jubilee for Andy Reid. This could be his day. This could be his year of Jubilee.
I keep telling him that.
I'd like to see Big Red finally get his ring. Really put those credentials, the finishing touches on a Hall of Fame career. I think he's worthy right now with or without that ring. He's seventh all time in wins, but it'd be nice to see a strong family man, the adversity he's had to overcome. I'll never forget that day. We were married maybe 3 months, August 2012. Yeah, we were married in May. Yeah, 3 months. And I wasn't up at training camp. This is back when the Eagles were in Lehigh. And got the call. Hey, it's Andy's son passed. I was like, what? We had to go up there. Yeah, I took you with me because we didn't have kids. I was like, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to stay. Yeah. Come with me. Right. And it was just so sad. I remember going to the funeral.
Wow.
And this is how you know that Andy was, for the way he is on in front of the camera early in his career. Now I see him with the Chiefs. He's laughing.
I know he's joking. He's laughing. Yeah.
He's talking about, I got to lose weight. I'm going to South Beach.
That's right? Awesome.
He's kind of loosened up a little, but he was always stoic. Injuries he'd start with, time's yours. It's kind of changed a little bit. But even in those days, people who really knew him told you, like, no, he's really funny. And I used to see that. Like, anytime I would see him away from, he'd always ask me, you know, how's it going? How's your family?
Yep.
Saw him a couple of years ago at the owner's meetings. Like, how's everything? How's your family? He's always a really good guy. But you can tell how respected and loved he was. Because when I went to that funeral, the line to greet the family, I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
And it was NFL dignitary after, I mean, Brett Favre, Steve Mariucci, all these people coming to pay their respects because of their relationship with Andy. And I thought it was pretty amazing. And that just tells you who he is. So, he's going for his first Super Bowl title. 49ers are going for it. I think they've won a few rings.
They've got five.
They haven't made an appearance in the Super Bowl since they lost to Baltimore 7 years ago. I love watching. We talked about last week Patrick Mahomes, just an incredible talent. Kyle Shanahan, the offensive wizardry, right? It's going to be cool to see. You got the number two defense. Should be a great game. I'm not ready to pick it. I don't know if you're ready to pick a game.
That 49 defense is they're for real. They have speed in every position you should have speed in.
Yeah.
They are athletes. Mahomes is going to be challenged in a way he has not been challenged. I think today, yeah.
This isn't going to be the one that they can run off. There have been about 7 or 8 instances this year where the Chiefs have run off 21 or plus points unanswered.
Yes.
It's going to be tough against the 49ers.
It is, but you know the good thing is you can't count them out, right? I mean, the good, you know, when you look at that, they are undaunted when they are down by 20 or more points. They're just undaunted, and a lot of teams they pack it in, and they don't. They're just like, we're just 1 or 2 plays away, and they are.
And the head coach sets that. Never give up. Never let that go. You're always in this game, and it's cool to see those guys. Our guest this week is got a Super Bowl connection because he is former New York Giants wide receiver David Tyree. So we've got Super Bowl 54 coming up, and there's been a ton of incredible catches throughout the history of the Super Bowl. This is a guy who had the greatest catch in Super Bowl history, or I think it was the greatest catch in Super Bowl history. There's been some amazing. Santonio Holmes, do you remember the one for the Steelers to beat the Cardinals in the corner of the end zone?
I was there. And it happened right in front of me.
No way.
I was at that game. Awesome. Happened literally right in front of me in that corner of the end zone.
I mean, that was a phenomenal catch. Final minute of the game, right?
Unreal. Well, you know, Larry Fitzgerald had just had a huge catch and run right before that. Everyone thought the game was over. Like, he split the safeties. They were playing too deep. Split the safeties. It was incredible. And then Antonio turns around. Like, it was, that catch was,
he was, man,
incredible.
Tight rope that sideline. Santonio Holmes. Lynn Swann, Steelers had, Lynn Swann, he had a couple great ones back in the 70s. I just saw highlights of those. Jermaine Kearse, I covered this Super Bowl couple years ago, the one where Russell Wilson threw the pick at the one. Jermaine Kearse, or the Seahawks wide receiver, caught one on his back that was off the defender, off his hands, off his feet, caught it, got up, ran a few more yards, and then they didn't give it to Marshawn at the one, and the Patriots won the Super Bowl. There was Mario Manningham had a great one for the Giants. There was Julian Edelman against the Patriot for the Patriots against the Falcons. He had one like in that 28-3 comeback that scooped it up. That was great. But for me, you know, the best is either Santonio Holmes or the one in the corner of the end zone, or David Tyree. But Tyree's was a helmet catch,
Catch is crazy.
Third and five, right? But here's the thing. So the scenario in that game, you're facing the undefeated Patriots.
Correct. They're 16-0, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Well, 18-0
at that point.
Exactly
undefeated
right.
Patriots, third and five. You're down four. They would have, obviously, if they, it was incomplete, going for it on fourth down. There's a minute left in the game. We talk about the catch, and it was phenomenal. He goes up three defenders.
What Eli did to get him the ball was insane.
Eli, the statue.
Yes, I know, right?
we're not talking about Lamar Jackson.
No.
We're not talking about Patrick Mahomes.
No. Michael Vick? No.
We're not even talking about, like, Ben Roethlisberger who can get away, or Carson Wentz, guys like that. No, we're talking about Eli, the ultimate statue, broke away from all of the, and he put it up there. David Tyree went up, man. He made that catch after Eli escaped the sack, and that was, I can't believe that was 2008. That was 12 years ago. Just an incredible upset in the Super Bowl. Then a few years later, Giants beat the Patriots again in the Super Bowl, and the Patriots hadn't lost the Super Bowl.
I think, with the Giants, did they come in as the sixth seed that year?
That year they did.
Right? They came in as the sixth seed that year.
I believe.
And ran the table.
Yeah.
And won the Super Bowl.
So the one year they were 10-6. This year they were 10. The 2008 season, they were 10-6, but they weren't. Yeah, they had to be a six seed. I'm not sure if they were 5 or 6, but they were 10-6 and won. They won on the road. Three game. Yeah,
right.
Three
so games if they run the three games,
it's only
on the
been
road,
two six seeds who won a Super Bowl. Yeah, Steelers were one of them, and
the
must have been the Giants were the other one. And then they wanted to get – I mean, I had to dig in the archives for this interview because it's a Super Bowl Sunday. I wanted to have this episode. I spoke to David for my book, Football Faith, a few years back. So we'll play that for you coming up. But he talks about 1 Corinthians 9:22, and that verse says, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. To the weak I became weak to win the week. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." So this is Paul talking here. And to me, this verse sums up Paul. It's the epitome of who he is. Like, he lived to win souls for the kingdom. So we talk about in sports having a whatever it takes attitude to win the game. Yes. Like, Eli had whatever it took to get away from three potential defenders sacking him. David had whatever it took to jump up and make that play. You got to be willing to work hard in sports, sacrifice all the blood, the sweat, and the tears, outwork your opponent, spend the extra time in the gym, on the field, go through all kinds of pain, injury, suffering, whatever it is. But Paul, man, Paul did whatever it takes. And his trophy wasn't that Vince Lombardi trophy. It wasn't some shiny gold medal thing. His award was just knowing that he's helping to win souls for Christ. And Paul wasn't about making more money. He wasn't about seeking more power, fame, and glory. His life was dedicated to kingdom work. So I think, like, this verse sums him up. And this verse really, it kind of lays down the principles for ministry. And it's something that I try to keep in mind all the time, and especially when I'm doing prison ministry. And I just wrote down five things I want to go through. One, we should find something, and like we should find some common ground, something in common with the people that we're going to minister to.
Absolutely,
there's got to be a common ground. Two, never, like I try to go out of my way to make sure I never have this like better than you, holier than thou, yes, know it all kind of attitude. Because one, we're not better than anybody. Two, we're not holier than anyone. No. And three, truth, we don't know it all.
Truth.
But that's a surefire way to turn somebody off.
Absolutely.
When you attempt to come across that, yep, way. Number three, I wrote, you got to make other people feel accepted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No matter what it is they did or they're going through, make them feel accepted. And number four, I put, be genuine. Just be authentic.
Truth.
Because
really good, right?
People can see phony,
yeah,
and you got to be sensitive to their needs. And number five, like, look for these opportunities to spread the gospel and seize it. Have that whatever it takes mentality and introduce Christ to people. Man, when you get an opportunity to do that, it's such a privilege.
It's such a
privilege to be able to do that. And I think, you know, it's something we should never underestimate.
Absolutely. I think what you just said is so powerful because, you know, the thing that Paul is saying, which is incredible, is that as an athlete, we go through all these things, right? Mm-hmm. We go to the gym and we stay out late, work hard late, and we watch film and all those things so that we could get a reward. We sign a bigger contract, we win a game, it's not always horribly selfish, but it certainly is self-rewarding.
Right.
What Paul is saying is, I'm going to go through all these things so that I don't get anything. It's actually the person who I'm doing these for that receives.
Right.
And that's a really, that's the epitome of who Jesus is. Consider the needs of others before yourself. And that's why, Rob, what you just said is absolutely true. We have to be authentic. We have to be inclusive. Mm-hmm. I know you're going through a hard time. No, but I'm there. You know, you guys hear us preach from the pulpits all the time. We don't ever use the word you. We always use the word we.
We.
You know, or man, I know we struggle with this. Yeah. We all struggle with this because there's not one of us, even if that may not be my top 10 that I struggle with, mm-hmm, it's still in me. It doesn't really matter. And when we speak on those kind of levels, we're bringing people together. Yeah. And I can accept everyone without approving of everything. And I think in our generation, that's the struggle, where at times where I say I don't approve of something, where I recognize that something is probably not beneficial or something the word calls is sin. We've talked about many times on the show. That doesn't mean that I don't accept the person behind those things. And it's not me. I'm not trying to make them more like me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make them. I'm trying to introduce them not to a religion, not to a belief system, not to a moral code. I'm trying to introduce them to a person, and his name's Jesus. And I think that's, you know, if Rob, I love that you're so honest and open. And when I get a chance to introduce you to people, I don't just talk about, here's a guy that doesn't do these 18 things, and if you want to be his friend, you can't do these 18 things. I introduce them to you. Tell them about you, who you are.
Yeah.
And I think if we can do that with Jesus, with our friends with Jesus, our coworkers with Jesus, I think that's a game changer.
That's amazing.
Listen, this verse is a hard one for a lot of people that have walked with Jesus for a long time, because you fall into that whole mentality of, well, I've been walking with him for so long, and then when you meet people that haven't walked with him the way you walked with him, mm-hmm, you go, you're far off, buddy. I don't even know if we can be friends, you know? And then I always have to remind myself, dude, you were there too. You were there too, and you needed someone to bring you out. And it took you how many years?
Absolutely.
It took you how long to get here? So I have to be weak for the week, and I have to be just like Paul is saying. I have to kind of go down to their level to bring them up with me. And I cannot seclude myself. We cannot keep doing that to each other. We cannot keep going, well, I've been walking for like 5 years now. Uh-huh. I'm so good now. I need people to like be on my level. So I can be friends with them. No, I'm serious. I've had this conversation with myself, you know, and I go, but God is putting this person in my path so I can bring them to him so he can fix them like me, because I needed fixing. So we can't keep falling in that hole like, oh, I'm holy now, so I need people on my level so I can grow and be better and better and better.
You know what helps fix that, by the way? What helps fix that is, I think, two things. Remembering that we are that person to someone who's much further along the line with Jesus than us.
Oh, snap.
So, like, every time we look at somebody and go, oh, I wish you were. Yeah. There's the yes.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, I think, Remy, you know, and again, we talk about this all the time, but when we put ourselves in the position of serving others on a regular basis, those thoughts become less less prevalent in our life. When we isolate ourselves from serving others, it's when we allow ourselves the ability to say, oh, I got this thing called grace to get down pat. I got this thing called patience down pat. Right. No, it's when we put ourselves in a position where we're constantly serving other people that we recognize, no, I'm so much in need of grace. I'm so much in need of patience. You know, Danielle and I were talking about this the other day, and I get to travel around the world, and I've traveled a lot. And even though I've led tons of mission trips, well over 60, there have been a lot of times that I would be honest with myself and say, I could have loved the people there more. That to be honest, I got caught up in leading the trip and enjoying being at that place and hanging out with the missionary and saying, well, wait a minute, I missed the mark. I forgot the love on the people. Did I preach a good message? Yep. Did people get saved? Yep. Did we build a new church building? Yep. Did we feed people? Yep.
Right.
But it's not always about that, is it? It's like, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to love these people.
That's honest.
It's honest, and I love that because we all do that. Absolutely. One way or another, we do it. We just don't. We don't think about it because it's so easy to just be like, check mark, did this. All right, back to my routine now. But actually, we are here for a reason, and we are changed to change others and not to just keep going up the ladder. It's not about a ladder. It's not about steps. It's about I'm changed so I can change someone else. I am transformed so I can transform someone else to be along with me on this journey and not just be by myself. And it's the whole thing, the idea of just like being – you know, I'm better than people.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's better than anybody.
You know, when we get down to it, and you know it, Remy, because you studied this in the natural, but that's all self-defense mechanisms.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right? It's a self-defense mechanism for isolation. When we present ourselves, so we just create holy walls around ourselves, right? So before we created other kind of walls, but now we've cleaned them up, right? We just cleaned them up. We look good. We're fine. Yeah. It's all right. And yet at the end, like, Jesus tore down every wall. Like, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was with God. He was God. And he became, he took on human flesh.
Yeah.
He knocked down every wall so that if there's anyone who ever should be able to say, yeah, I'm not sure that you all should be with me, it's him. And yet, that's why Paul can come. Paul was one of the most intelligent people truly of his day. He came from a very wealthy background. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was, you know, religious of religious, and yet he could turn around and say, but I found the strength not in any of those things, not in my bank account, not in my prestige, not in my family heritage, not in what I did. I understand the strength of who I am is only when I am weak and allowing Christ to be the strength of my life. And that's when an athlete talks about this, because athletes are taught not to show weakness.
Yes.
Soldiers are taught not to show weakness, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times men in our generation don't show weakness. Right. And it's even, I agree with you, Remy, too. I think even today, it's even women don't show, because it's girl power. There's no weakness. And yet, man, it's not about being weak in the sense of physical.
No.
It's about really saying, I'm okay with someone else seeing that I'm not all right.
Yeah.
That I don't have it all together.
Yeah, I think that's so important to let everyone know that when he's talking here about, it's not weak as in physical, it's weak in faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's weak in faith. It's weak in whatever it is that you may be going through, weak in your walk. Paul's not saying in here, and I think sometimes we get caught up in this. I know I do, going in prisons and sharing a message and preaching or whenever I have opportunities at various places. We're not the ones who, we don't save anyone. Jesus.
That's exactly right.
Jesus saves the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely right.
You know, Paul is talking about we're planting seeds. We're leading people. We're helping open their hearts, helping show them who Christ is in our life so they may get to know him. And I think that could be a dangerous trap if we think, oh, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to save Yeah. It's 100 yeah, souls, or I'm going to say whatever it is like that. In this verse too, become all things to all people. This can be misinterpreted, maybe. It's not, you know, I'll use like the prison example again. I don't have to commit a crime to go in there.
Correct.
I don't have to go inside the prison by getting myself arrested and then going correct. In the prison correct. And then correct. Talking to these inmates. Correct. I made myself available
correct.
By joining a ministry yes. where I can go speak to inmates. And that afforded me the opportunity. I think when he's talking about become all things to all people, it's about that availability. It's about being accommodating.
100%.
Right? It's not – I don't think we can and there may be some misinterpretations where you look at it like, oh, I got to compromise my morals or my integrity yeah. or my Christian values and then go and justify that behavior by saying, well, I wanted to gain acceptance into that circle – so I can go in their souls for Christ.
Yeah.
But now you compromised who you are. It's not
there's
that simple. It's not that
yeah.
simple.
I mean, I wish I was lying. I wish I was lying about this, but I literally had a guy who had gotten caught going into a strip club, and he said to me, I'm going in there so that I can learn how to witness to guys who struggle with this. And I said, you're out of your mind.
Did he mean that wholeheartedly?
100%. And no, I don't think you know, dude. No, he didn't mean that. Oh, no, but what I'm saying is like it's that verse, right? I'm just trying to be all things to all people. No.
Okay.
Again, contextually, what Paul's talking about is, you know, being Jewish, I'm not allowed to eat with Greeks, right? That's what he's talking. I'm not allowed to eat with people, right? Because they're unclean. I'm not going to associate with those people that my world says
I can't
are
believe
unclean.
There was a mindset like that. Bro, can you imagine that mindset?
I mean,
that's justifying.
It's crazy.
That was nuts.
So it's one of those things where you just go, I don't have to do what they're doing to be able to. Yeah. Christ is always my standard, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not allowing certain things that our culture would say, put a stigma on people and say, if you're really holy, you don't associate with those people. And Paul is always breaking down those barriers. Matter of fact, there's a time when Peter stops eating with Greeks, eating with people that they would say are unclean. And Paul says, I confronted him to his face. I went, by the way, that could be an entire different show, actually going to someone when you have an offense with them.
Wow.
Anyways, that I confronted his face because what he was doing is wrong. It's wrong. So, you know, it's recognizing how can I bring the gospel to someone? Because that's the goal. My goal is not being their friend. My goal isn't just to do what they're doing so that they feel accepted by me. The goal is so that I can actually have a bridge to introduce them to Jesus.
Right.
And that's what Paul's saying. Because his ultimate goal is always Jesus. If I have to eat with the Greek and eat food that's offered up to idols, I'm going to eat food offered up to idols so that I can have a conversation. Because I know that's not sin.
The example that you gave, I think is easy
don't
though.
Back to that.
It's easy to make that decision. Like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I know. I'm not going to try and preach to or share Christ to men who are struggling with this by going into that arena. Okay, there are some other times where it's just you're sitting around a table or you're in a workspace or wherever it is, and you may be part of uncomfortable conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you may be in a group where it could be friends, it could be relatives, it could be whatever it is, and you don't want to get up and leave the group because you don't want to. You don't want to show that, well, I'm not holy. Yeah, I'm holy. Oh, is he holier than thou?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It could be difficult.
It's hard. And I've been there, done that. You know, when you're like in a situation where your friends are talking about something and you're like, that is so just not. I mean,
yeah, we're not going there.
Yeah. I mean, we're not.
Oh, I know a specific example now that you're. No, I'm talking about a more recent example.
Right. It's just not. Yeah. It's weird. And then you're sitting there going, how do I respond to that? Mm-hmm. So I basically don't respond. I just sit there and just listen. And back of my mind, I'm praying for them. But I'm just like, you know, I'm not saying I'm holier, but I'm just saying. Sometimes
it makes you uncomfortable. The conversation's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but you don't have to. is it right to say you don't have to follow those word for word? Because I'm not supposed to be like going down to their level, like, oh yeah, that's cool. No, it's not cool.
But that's
like,
not actually what Paul's saying. Exactly yeah. right. What Rob said earlier, Remy, is right. We misinterpret this. Yeah. We have to take it contextually and say he's not saying to go do whatever everyone else is doing. That would be counter to everything Jesus is and who Paul was.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So if you're sitting in a group among people having like a foul conversation and you're trying to fit in with them, Paul's not saying, to be all things to these people. Hey, let me fit in. Let me join in this conversation. Let me talk about whatever I don't and things that make you compromise.
And then you're right. And then sometimes you have to come to a conclusion, though, that you've tried. You tried and you prayed. And every time we meet, this goes down. So I think maybe this is not working out.
Well, I was going to say, if every every time you're there, you know, this is happening, there might need to be some new boundaries to friendships in that, in who I allow in my world. I would always say you do have to listen to the Spirit of God in those moments, because there are times that you need to speak up. And I don't say speak up and put someone down, but there's a moment, like, I'm always a leader no matter where I am in any group. I can't ever stop being a pastor. It's just who I am.
Yeah.
So I wear that mantle no matter where I go. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, when I'm sitting at a football game, we've talked about this before, you know, I'm sitting at the Eagles game and there's guys next to me, you know,
doing
what they do. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be like, hey, guy, that's your 18th beer. You got to stop, right? That's not, but I will tell you this, when they start to have language that exceeds, all right, that becomes offensive and I always stop and say, hey, there's families here.
Do you absolutely every time?
No, that's and now there'll be a lot of times that they'll say, hey, what do you do? And I'll say, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, father. Right. You know, and then every time they curse, I'm sorry, father, which is awesome. I always laugh. Right.
Father,
all the time. And I'm not trying to be a hard guy, Kyle. But I do recognize like there are kids around. Yeah. There are families around and you know, when they start using my king's name in vain, it's not okay with me.
It's not okay with me.
So, that doesn't mean every time that happens, like I'm like a lightning rod. But there are things that I always have to weigh.
Yeah.
And so I would always say that. I think that there's, you know, the Bible says a good name is more valuable than gold or silver.
Yeah. Mm.
And sometimes our silence is passive agreement. And I will never want someone to be able to say, hey, I was talking to Kyle and he, you know, we were talking all about this. I didn't say a word, right? But hey, So it does make things uncomfortable at times. Yeah. It does set boundaries in my life with who I will be, have those kind of conversations with. Rob, it's a little more difficult, I think, with you.
In sports, it's tough, man.
I'll tell you, it's
tough. Like in a press box, it's tough sometimes. Yep. It's tough. Being around certain athletes and certain different situations can all situations are different.
That's what I'm saying. You have to learn and listen and
weigh one thing against the other. And I think sometimes you have to consider like who are you being lumped in with, right? And who is, you know, if you're part of that group or are you part of that clique or are you part of that and they're saying, doing, acting, whatever, that you don't, that's not who you are or what you represent. You might want to, you've really got to remove yourself from that situation. It's challenging. I'm really challenged by this oftentimes because, like, the one part of me is I don't ever want to come across to someone like I feel better than them. I feel holier than them, right? And people, there's people who know what I do and have listened to the show and seen my posts on social media, know enough about me and have seen me speak and know my old life and know my new life and call me a holy roller or things like that. So there's always going to be that, but I think it's you got to be intentional about it. Like I have to be aware of it because who's bringing you down?
Yeah, correct.
And you don't want to compromise your principles. You don't want to compromise your values and your Christian beliefs because you're trying to fit in. And I just want to make sure that as we're discussing this verse today, that no one runs with it and says, "Hey, well, Paul says."
Right,
bring yourself down to all these.
Exactly
this
right.
is
yeah,
not
yeah.
what nope, Paul. Nope, this is not what nope. Paul's saying. But I'll be honest, the
a
first
strip club is not the answer.
Yeah,
yes,
the first time I read this, I don't know when it was, but the first time I read this, I may have interpreted it that way. It took reading it. And last week we talked about analyzing and breaking things, breaking Bible verses down. Like, yes, you break down a play on television and football and you got the analyst. It took me really breaking it down and really looking at it and trying to get to an understanding here. Like, no, Paul ain't talking about this.
I would say, you know, buddy, you know, we have to recognize the arena that we're in. We have to recognize the level of relationship that we have with those people.
Yeah.
You're in a locker room after a game. There's a lot of things being said and done, and you are not going to stand up on a trash can and say, hey,
not
knock it off.
Okay?
No. And that, yeah, nor should you, and I don't think that's the place for it.
Yeah.
Because those guys are not intimate in your life. They're not having influence in your life.
Now, I will say this. I've heard some, there's been some music that I've never had to say anything, but sometimes either PR staffs or other players are mindful of media being in there, and they'll turn down very offensive music, especially when it relates to women and there's women in a locker room. I've never had to personally do it, but people have done that.
It's good for them to do that. And I think we have to always ask the question, because you said it earlier, who is this someone that's lumped in with me? What is the relationship that I have with this individual?
Yes.
If someone feels comfortable having those conversations around me all the time, then I have to ask myself, what am I actually saying or not saying
that
makes
so
them feel comfortable to have those conversations?
Yes.
All of us can find ourselves in a situation where we go, oh, I wish I was in this conversation. But if your friends, the crowd that you're running with is feeling free to have those conversations. So I tell people all the time, look, if you know, people have said to me, people just bring me gossip all the time. Do you know why? Because you listen to it. So it's like, if someone feels comfortable enough to keep saying those kind of things around you, you have to say, you know, what is that? I would say there's a lot of different ways to do it. You don't have to stand up in the locker room. But I would always suggest the ability, if you care about this relationship, to pull that person aside and say, hey, I just want to let you know, for me, I don't talk about people like that. You know, I'm not open for that. It's just kind of not who we are. I care about our relationship, so I want to let you know that this is it. And I think that we're so afraid to make people, to set boundaries, because we're like, I don't want anyone to think I'm holier than thou, that we actually aren't holy at all.
Right.
We have to just be able to answer the question, how does holiness, how is it lived out in our life? How do we express it to people? And on what level? So, you know, go ahead.
That goes back to the whole thing. Like, okay, so what do you do? So you're here, you're trying to like, not be like them, but trying to kind of attract people to your life, you know, minister to them. But at the same time, you're trying to tell yourself, okay, well, I don't want to be just not be with these people and then go away and like try to be with the holy ones. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how, sometimes you just fall in the middle because you want to minister to everybody. And so I'm one of those people that always question my relationships. And I always ask God, why did you bring this person in my life? Mm-hmm. Always.
Always.
Like, I am weird with that.
No,
like why did this person run into my life right now? Why are they still here? Mm-hmm. Because there's people that just like, I'd be like, peace out. Like, this is not working out. But so like I cut people off. But then there's people that are still lingering, but the relationship is like, I'm trying to draw you to Jesus with my life. But every time I come to your presence, I feel like there's a lot of darkness that it's kind of like we're polar opposites. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So I'm confused. Yeah,
I would think, you know, Remy, Dee and I have lots of unsaved friends. We are unafraid to talk to them about certain boundaries that we won't cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have found that people who really want to have a relationship value that.
Okay.
That's what we need to be able to do, because I do want to have a relationship with them. But if they want to have a relationship with me as well, like, I know that there are things that I'm not going to ask them to compromise on. I'll give you an example, right? If you're someone who's really doesn't believe in Jesus yet and really struggled with being hurt by the church, we're out for dinner, I'm not necessarily going to say, hey, can we all hold hands and pray here in the restaurant?
Yeah.
Because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that would make them extremely uncomfortable.
Right?
That's not drawing them to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's just me being showing them that I'm Christian, yeah. which they are should already know, by the way, right. by lots of other readings.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, I'm going to say to them, hey guys, I don't, you know, don't, we'll never gossip about anybody. Yeah. You know, Rob, we've had this conversation before, and not that you and I, yeah, I've had to have it, but you know, as the show started getting started, we had to talk about. I know a lot of the players personally because I'm their pastor.
Yeah.
There's lots of things I can't ever share, and there's and there's things I can't I can't get into, right? Because, right? Because that boundary that it's a healthy boundary for people to be set. So I think that's Remy. That's you always have to ask yourself who's being the influencer. You know, is this again? Is this a picture that of a moment in their life, or is this the movie? Is this constant picture? If this is the same thing going on, or it's now the movie, and I'm like, that's not a movie. I ain't going to that film.
It's a movie.
I wouldn't go to that film if it was out. If it was coming from Hollywood, I'm not going to it because it's coming from that person.
Oh, I stopped going to the movies. Okay. Right, let me just put it out there. I stopped going to that movie because it's just not my movie, and I don't like it. So, I mean, it's a struggle, but I try to find a healthy boundary, and I stopped putting that weight on me, honestly. I kept telling myself, oh, no, you got to just try one more time. I stopped doing that. This year, you guys, I stopped doing that because it's too much weight for me. I tried.
There you go, 2020 goals.
Yeah, there you go.
Go.
I'm going all out. So I stopped doing that, and if I have the holy talk with them and it doesn't work out, Jesus, I'm sorry, I tried.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Peace out. Like, I'm
It's
can't.
Okay that you're a link in the chain of their salvation. You know how we don't always have to be the final link.
Right.
And I think so.
Thank
we feel
that
pressure,
that.
Rob, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
If I mess this up,
again,
they're
we're
never
the
going
to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's on me.
Back
it's
the
on
truck up. There's been 50,000 right. people who were the links in our chains before we ever came to Christ. So
that's,
I think we're good.
Yeah.
No,
it's not on you to save. It's just plant a seed. You just plant the seed. When we come back, we'll hear from former New York Giants wide receiver David Tyree. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Remy Motti, and Pastor Kyle Horner. Our guest this week is former New York Giants wide receiver David Tyree. David was a sixth-round pick in 2003. He was mainly a special teams player. Went to the Pro Bowl in 2005. In 2007, he had four catches the entire regular season, four more in the playoffs. Then he made the play that everyone remembers, the helmet catch that we talked about that helped the wild card Giants pull off that stunning upset against the unbeaten Patriots in the Super Bowl. David's career only lasted a couple more seasons afterwards, never caught another pass after that incredible one. David has now, he's overcome a lot of adversity in his life. He battled alcohol addiction beginning in middle school, but he's come a long way. He's found his way to the Lord, and he's worked for the NFL in their player engagement department, and he is currently the director of player development for the New York Giants. I spoke to David Tyree for my book, Football Faith, a few years ago. Here is David Tyree.
Identify and bear the sin, bear the burden, and I challenged other fellow men. So whatever he needed to become to you know, to identify and be able to be the burden of a man that they would be able to see Christ. Paul was, too. That was, you know, that was really something that spoke to me, you know, in a sense, a very long time ago, as far as what this thing was all about, becoming all things to all men, that, you know, my all needs might save some, so not saving the whole world, but that, you know, just don't ever think that some might come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that was, you know, that's one of the first scriptures, even as a young believer, that kind of, gravitated.
That was former New York Giants wide receiver David Tyree. Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University returns after this.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University, Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you've missed any of our episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find over 100 shows and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media. I'm at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and at Kyle J. Horner. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without their support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonthefieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people, so thank you to Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, and Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. That wraps it up for this week's episode. Thank you always to our guests. Thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does to make us present better. Thank you to Jim Henderson for all your work behind the scenes. And thank you to Ryan for producing the show. Also, big thanks to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.